Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hi guys, it's really good to be back this week. I hope you're doing well. I hope everybody's healthy and safe. So what are we going to be talking about this evening? So we thought, wow, it's been a week. So let's talk about, you know, what really happened around the full moon on the 3rd of August. Because boy, oh boy, were there some crazy energy being landed on this planet. And, you know, basically, you know, obviously myself and a few people that I hang with are very good mediums, very good clairvoyants, and very good people who get tuned in to what's really going on. And we basically were picking up a lot of energy around the Ashtar Command. And they, you know, again, very much they did a flyby. And we're in our atmosphere for about 12 hours to help us raise the vibration of the planet for another great awakening, like we haven't had a lot going on this year already. So, you know, what's our advice on that? I mean, what is the Ashtar Command for a start? And, you know, why does it matter and what do they do? So, you know, this is what we'll be talking about and our take on it, because I know Matthew's had an interesting week. I've had a very interesting week. So, you know, let's talk about it and have some laughs and some jokes and talk around some of the stuff that's been going on. So I'm just handing over to Matthew so he can say hi-dee doody and, give his take on it a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Glad to be back. And yeah, it's really, really interesting subject because for me, I've been picking up the energy and tuning in on that side of things, but obviously got the information around what was going on from Penny, and it's been wild. And I think what I'm able to share this evening is obviously my perspective and how it's affected me as someone who is on a daily basis trying to keep my vibration as high as possible. I've got a daily practice, and it's like, well, if it's affected me, boy oh boy, has it affected people that maybe don't have that structure. And I've obviously seen that within my clients, so I look forward to sharing a bit of some of their stories, because it's been really, really interesting just what people have been experiencing in the last 48 hours. And there is a huge pattern to it, which I think will be extremely useful to share.
Yeah. So. Yeah, nice. That's really good. Hey, I'm interested now.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, obviously working with you over the years, I have probably a greater knowledge than most around spirituality, but very much when you've lived it and you live with them, as you do, the depth of the knowledge is so much greater. So I'm really excited about taking on some knowledge this evening myself. So because
sounds like, yeah, a great show.
Yeah, strap in, it's going to be a good one.
Well, I think very much maybe I need to talk a little bit about how I came to know about the Ashtar Command. And I was very much part of a spiritual development circle, which pretty much probably started off about 20 years ago. And the guy who was running the circle is a fantastic nationally known trance medium and clairvoyant, for another way of putting it, and his name is George Gray. And so I basically many years ago probably about 30 years ago, when I first trained in Reiki, was really interested to go and give Reiki attunements to people who actually were mediums and clairvoyants, because I wanted to get their take on Reiki attunements, and I just wanted to find out who was, you know, what guides came in and what was this and what was that. I had my understanding, so I really got to know George around that, because I trained in Reiki, and he told me a whole bunch of stuff that he saw, and, you know, the Reiki guides and who the Reiki guides were and all that type of stuff. And he went off and started a center called the Oasis Center, which is in Essex, just north of London, or slightly east of London. And he has basically run the Reiki Healing Center there for the last, I would say, 20 years, maybe even 22 years. Every Saturday, this guy just shows enormous commitment to this community. And every Saturday, I think he's taken one or two Saturdays off in about 22 years. And there's about eight Reiki healers who come together. They have eight couches running, and they serve probably about 40 to 50 people every Saturday. So at one, I just wanted to take my hat off to him and say great achievement. But also, I just wanted to show you that, you know, this guy actually walks his walk, and is a really fantastic channel for one, Reiki, two, spiritual healing, three, absolute commitment and unconditional love to this community. And I joined with him in a circle probably about 15 years ago, where because I have, although I have quite strong psychic skills, I've never really explored them. It was never something I wanted to do specifically, as in becoming a medium or a trance medium or any of these things. But I again trust George 100% with my life, and I went, you know, if there's such a thing as a trance medium, then I want to go along and experience it. And then knowing George and trusting George, got into a spiritual circle and had some of the experiences around him being a fantastic trance medium, and then me, flexing my muscles in that area myself. All I can say is it's an amazing experience to have, both spiritually and energetically. So it was during that circle that we actually met a couple of the souls that were working with the Ashtar Command, and they told us all sorts of different stuff. And, you know, I can't remember everything off the top of my head, purely for the reason that they actually taped the session. So I probably need to go back and listen to them again. But basically, the Ashtar Command are galactic guardians who basically have a lot of... they do flybys in different planets to help them raise vibrations. They come into and sit in different atmospheres of different planets when they're going through a lot of... I would say upheaval or spiritual awakening. And there's an awful lot of stuff on the internet which makes me quite laugh on some occasions, cringe on other occasions, and just go uh-huh on other occasions, because there's an awful lot of conspiracy stuff around the Ashtar Command. These guys are high vibrational beings, interplanet and interdimensional beings who are just there to help out They're not anything sinister. They're not anything, you know, that's going to suddenly take over our world or anything else. And they're not here causing the pandemic, by the way. That is something totally and utterly different. And it's really quite amazing when you start to talk or actually say, because it took me a while to I posted up just before, I think on the 2nd of August, just giving people a heads up that, you know, there was going to be a big energy shift and a big energy change around the full moon, and that they needed to ground and protect and remember to do their daily practice and stay grounded, because it was going to be, although I wouldn't say it was a disruptive energy, but it was an energy that was going to make us become more of who we authentically are than we were being on the day before. So just really interesting. And when the energy came in, I don't know how many people went out and looked at the moon, but the moon, this full moon that's just gone, I would have said it's probably one of the strongest moons I've seen in my lifetime. And, you know, I've probably been awake to the moon since I was probably about 3 or 4 years old. So I would say to you, just under 60 years I've been watching the moon and looking at the moon and wowing at the moon, because it's just an amazing planet. And obviously it's the nearest to us. So it was such an amazing, powerful moon on the 3rd. It was literally mesmerizing. So I just wanted to say that first. And obviously with the awareness that it was about 11:45 that night, that the command came into our atmosphere and was hanging around for about 12 hours as it basically orbited the Earth. And just really quite interesting to find out how. I know my son was hugely affected, and he's 3 years old. And I felt the energy coming in. My husband felt the energy coming in. So that's the whole of our household. And and everybody I've spoken to since, and obviously seeing, you know, having appointments via Zoom, and everybody's been talking about the shift and the change. So, you know, it's not like somebody has to be incredibly psychic or incredibly tuned in. An awful lot of people have had a lot of different physical sensations. One person I was talking to basically said that, you know, she felt her hearing had suddenly gone off, and she wasn't really hearing things. It was like there was static going on in her ears. And it was like she felt that she needed to change the channel, tune in slightly better. And when we went through a process, that's exactly what happened for her, was we managed to tune it slightly, and her hearing came back and everything. She's been feeling a lot better since then. And I obviously advised her to ground an awful lot and go out and put her feet in Gaia, in the Earth, and basically take it from there. But I'm sure Matthew's got a few different things that he wants to talk about too.
Yeah, well, that was one of the ones I've experienced myself. It was really strange, because at one point it was like both ears needed popping, and then it was one side, then I could hear clearly, then it was ringing, then it was muffled, then it was crackling. I've had all manner of different things going on in my hearing, not today, but the last couple of days. But what was really, really interesting for me was last night. I got home from seeing a couple of friends, and I was sat there with my housemate on the sofa, and I went to pick up my glass on the table and noticed my hand was shaking, at which point I realised that I was getting really cold, but from the inside, it wasn't like my skin was cold. The house wasn't cold. And it sort of came from my stomach and just went through my whole body. And I was like, I'm going to have to go to bed. I need to curl up in a duvet. So I took myself upstairs. No sooner had I got myself into bed and I was warm, which was all of 30 seconds, 45 seconds, I went nuclear. Literally, I went up like a rocket. My temperature, I didn't measure it, but I was through the roof. I sweated for probably 8 hours last night. I was up every hour. It was really interesting. And I say that because the only thing I could liken it to is when I've given up a chemical. And you have that sort of shift, but this was way beyond that. I mean, the heat was, it was insane. But I knew it was energetic, and I knew it was clearing. And the smell that comes with it is a smell that I recognise from certain breath works and things like that, which is a real musky, woody sort of smell, which is associated with karma. So whether I was sweating that out or there was some associated with that, it was just incredible. And I know a couple of other people said, yep, I had the sweats last night too. So that has just been really, really interesting for me, because what did I do the day before? Obviously, when Penny told me what was going on, I'd done my daily practice. I'd done an hour's breath work. I'd been meditating. I thought, I've got this. I'll be all right. Because, as I said earlier, since finding a daily practice and realising it makes so much difference, it's so important. So I thought, well, if I put everything in place, yep, this should be plain sailing. But it was obviously, that's again why I know something went on, because I felt a massive shift within myself, within the universe, and especially amongst my clients and groups that I've been working with recently. A lot of the guys that I've been working with recently are soldiers, so you would put them within a sort of a vulnerable category when it comes to mental health as it is. And it's like, for them, it's like they've hit a brick wall. This shift in vibration has brought up that we no longer have a choice to change things. It's like we have to. We have no choice now. It's sort of epidemic levels with mental health, to the point where I've probably spoken to 10 people in the last 24 hours that have all mentioned suicidal thoughts yesterday. And what's really interesting is working with all different varieties of people from different walks of life, when we reflected it and worked through it, it wasn't that they were having suicidal thoughts as in I want to die. It was just that they don't want to live like this anymore, and actually they demand more happiness. Life has to change now. It's no longer working in the way that it is. And it's just so interesting how people's first reference is, if we've learned nothing from COVID, it's that our lives weren't working the way that we thought they were before. We're all in delusion, thinking that we have to go out and work hard and have all these nice things and impress people. We're here to have fun, and we all have a sole purpose, and we're all here to help each other. And life should be a game, and it should be fun. And that's what people have been completely missing. We've all been completely ignoring it because we're so buried in material stuff and technologies and that sort of thing. A lot of people don't have that connection. And the further away we've got as a global race from that connection, the bigger lessons we've needed. And for me, the Ashtar Command turning up, this is it now. The vibration is that people will have to make a change because it's no longer going to fit, which is exciting from our point of view because obviously we can help and support so many more people, and through more people waking up and making a change in their lives will just accentuate and help others do the same, because we've been asleep for far too long, and the ones of us that haven't been asleep, well, maybe we haven't been pushing it hard enough, which I know initially may sound wrong, because for people out there that work in the field that we do, I know one of the biggest frustrations is not enough people know about it, and it should be as well respected as staff that's on the National Health Service. Well, that's the kind of stuff that's going to be flipping, because people are realising we're not talking about just small groups, we're talking about everybody is realising that actually what we're doing and what we have been doing is not working. And there's no point in flogging a dead horse. I was speaking to a very good friend of mine who works for one of the larger drug companies, and he was saying one of the biggest thing that's stopping the NHS from moving forwards is fear. Because they will say that they're scared that the treatments that work, i.e. action treatments, action therapies like breathworks, and a lot of the NLP skills that aren't given on NHS, the stuff that really works, they don't want to try it because it's expensive. But the delusion in that is you're happy to spend money and keep wasting money on something that doesn't work, but you're not prepared to spend any money on something that does work. And it's like the twistedness of delusion, because it's like you're quite happy to keep flogging that dead horse, hoping that it's going to get up, but you wouldn't entertain spending some money in the right area. And this is all changing. I'm not sure what it's like in America at the moment, but there's a huge uproar that things aren't working and we need change and we deserve change. So that's very much what's sort of kept my positivity, and that's what I'm being shown, is people have hit a wall almost of enough's enough. People need change, because they can't go on the way that they're going.
So we're just going into a break. Saved by the bell. And we'll be back in a minute or so.
Brilliant.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life, ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs, and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love,
financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, we're back. So we're talking about what happened with the at the full moon time on the 3rd of August and some of the fallout from that, which is Matthew was talking about the night of the sweats. And I was talking to some clients, and a couple of them had problems with hearing, and because they felt that they weren't grounded. And, you know, our brains are always reacting to situations based on our fight or flight mechanism. And, you know, the inherent survival mechanism that, you know, is meant to protect us from fatal situations that occur. And, you know, often it was saber-toothed tigers and all sorts of things in primitive days. But in modern society, the mechanism still exists in our brain and tends to, you know, to be applied to daily stresses of life that aren't so life-threatening. And then we get, unfortunately, get the response of spiking cortisols and other hormones, and which can often lead to things like chronic fatigue, depression, and dis-ease. And, you know, when we feel that we're out of control, or we have no control, then, of course, fight or flight mechanism kicks in big time. And one of the things I've been talking about in the last 48 hours is very much about just know that, you know, some things in the universe are unseen, some things we do not understand, and some things are just going to give us a feeling like Matthew was talking about of, I don't want to live my life like this anymore. Why is it so stressful? Why am I not understanding? Why are there so many conspiracy theories? And it goes on and on and on. And unfortunately, when we listen to the news and then suddenly something happens like Beirut, where they have this enormous explosion and nobody really understood why at the beginning. But, you know, 100 people dead, 4,000 injured. And you just look at it and go, you know, the world is going to hell in a handcart. What on earth is going on? And it's when we suddenly realise that we're still in the me, me, me mentality of how does it affect me? What about me? What about my family? What about my job? Oh, my God, I'm still on furlough. How are we going to make ends meet? You know, the government, governments are doing what they can to support the house market, etc., etc., etc. But when are we really going to go into recession? And all of this amazing worry, which just drops the vibration of the planet to such a degree, because we're not actually working as the human race. We're working in isolation from each other, and we're forgetting, you know, essentially there's only one of us here. So why are we taking out on ourselves, you know? And it's just, it really, you know, what is going on right here, right now, is the next shake-up, because we haven't actually done too much awakening from, you know, resulting from the pandemic. We're still walking around in hatred of others. We're still walking around thinking that other people are evil or other religions are evil. And actually, you know, it's time we all stepped up to the plate and, you know, woke up and grow up. And, you know, this is what this time is all about. It's getting out of ourselves and realizing that if there is, you know, more kindness, more grace, more love, more empathy in the world, then we're actually going to start getting on, and we can let go of an awful lot of the negativity that's going on, which will automatically raise the vibration of the Earth, or Gaia, however you want to put it. So I've had my little bit of a say, so I'll hand it over to Matthew.
Yeah, I think from what some of my clients were saying, they did, or one of the explanations I got is it's like we're the Coke bottle and they've just thrown some Mentos in there. So there's going to be a lot of reaction there. And it was really interesting that the very next day there was a natural disaster, or maybe not so natural. But again, what's really interesting is everybody seems to jump on the conspiracy. Everyone, we're all, it's almost like we're programmed to look for the negative in everything. And this is, again, a great lesson that we're going to get, because when you look at Corona and all of the racism stuff that's gone on recently, these are similar lessons. The global lessons that we should be getting is that we've got a lot of big issues, and the only way we're going to sort them out is by coming together and doing it with love, because it's the only vibration that's actually going to lift anything. But it's like people can't get out of their own way. You had white people making the Black Lives Matter wrong and saying, well, white people matter too. And the truth is, yes, they do. But at the time, we weren't talking about them. But it's like they have to be seen and they have to be heard. And it's like, that's just ego shit. Excuse my French. But it's that part of you that wants to be felt and noticed. But actually, you can do that by standing at the back of the room very quietly, rather than heckling while somebody else is trying to take centre stage. And it's these are some of the huge lessons that we need to get, that we are all in this together. And you know, you can talk about fear around anything, and we accentuate it. And the truth is, they're talking about recessions and how are we ever going to financially come back from this. And it's like, well, when you think about it from the bigger picture, we have so much monetary excess on this planet. We have more money than we could all spend in our lifetimes. So you tell me how we're going to run out. Because if it comes to it and we have to share it, that's what has to happen. And that is everybody doing their little bit, everybody coming together. And, you know, so when you look at something from the bigger picture, and I always tend to look at it from the bigger picture, we're never in trouble. We need to get the lesson and make the flip. And for me, it's just such an exciting time, because being able to just help people realise what they're actually feeling and why they're feeling it, and realising that there's a lot of people feeling like this. It's the wake up we've been waiting for. I know.
But it's also, from my point of view, it's also making sure that we have the resolve to stick with what we commit to. You know, when you look at it, you know, when was Bob Geldof? When did he do the concert? It was 25 years ago, when he did the Live Aid, when he did Live Aid, and basically just, you know, he, bless his cotton socks, got so angry and passionate about the starving and in Africa that he put on this, you know, amazing global event which brought awareness to the fact that there are starving people on this planet. And then there are people, you know, other people who are starving mentally and emotionally, but in fact are obese and, you know, in different countries. And you look at it and go, hang on a minute, you know, why is there such an amazing deprivation in one world and overindulgence in another world? But in fact, they are mentally and emotionally starving. And when you actually look at it and just go, you know, there may be difference, yes, a physical starving and a mental and emotional starving, but we're all actually starving from knowing who our true self is. And knowing that actually we do not need to cut down, you know, well, in Australia they call it the tall poppy syndrome, don't they? We don't need to cut people off at the knees. What we actually need to do is show love and compassion and empathy and get out there and go, actually, you know, in some countries we've got loads of resources and other countries don't have any at all. We need to learn to share, you know. We're not a whole bunch of preschoolers, you know, not sharing their toys in the playground, you know, but that's what it feels like sometimes. And, you know, so emotionally, mentally and emotionally, we're all actually running around 2 or 3 years old and we need to grow up and mature, spiritually mature, so that we can take care of everybody on the planet and not just the old and the weak or the young, but everybody, people who have been through trauma, people who have been abused, people who are not as strong mentally or emotionally than others, and actually just get it out there and stop messing about. You know, I could rant on like this for days, weeks, years.
Yeah, when you look at indigenous tribes, when you look at the children on these nature programs, happiest people in the world, and they've got nothing. And it's like so many people, most of the world are chasing this dream that when they've got enough money or when they make it rich, they'll be happy. But you take rich people in any other country other than where the indigenous tribe come from, and I guarantee that they're miserable compared to those children that have nothing, which shows you that what matters is what is inside. And
absolutely.
The trouble is we're all looking outside for it.
So anyway, yeah, absolutely, I couldn't agree with you more. But going back to the energy of the full moon, because we can get distracted by other things, and it's just making sure we stay on track. And it's really important to realise and not be worried and not be fearful of the changes that are coming right here, right now. But just to embrace them and say, okay, so, you know, stuff is changing. What do I need to put into place in order for me to move through this as smoothly and as gracefully as possible? Because, you know, I mean, again, I think both Matthew and I were a tad astounded by the shift. Because, yes, we have both been on spiritual paths for quite some years, and, you know, we energetically we're pretty sound, but, you know, I didn't quite expect it to be as strong as it was, although, you know, hey, what did I expect? And it basically, it felt like being bowled over by an ocean wave a little bit. And, you know, the first little while it was like you were being thrown about in the turbulence a little bit, But then with the energetic techniques that we have, with the grounding and the protection, you know, making sure that you are using the law of gratitude. So be, you know, writing down what you were grateful for, five things that you were grateful for that day. And you know, reaching out to five different people so that you knew that you were being in connection. And also, you know, meditating for 5 or 10 minutes just to make sure that you are ultimately still connected with the divine. And it was very important to give that advice and also take the advice and do it myself. You know, I actually found that I was doing my, what I would say, a daily practice, which I normally do twice a day. I was doing 3-4 times over the last couple of days, 4 times a day, just to make sure that I was actually staying in connection with my authentic self, my higher self, and being very much in connection with the divine. And I still had times where I needed to go and sit down and zero clear an extra couple of times during that. So in fact, I was probably doing something 6 times a day just to make sure that I was in connection. And when you do commit to yourself at that type of level, then yes, you can stay strong, and yes, you can bend with the wind, and yes, you can be a beacon for other people. And I think that's really important too, is making sure that you have someone or a few people in your life that you can go to and feel like, you know, when you're with them, as Matthew was actually saying, you know, wrapping himself up in a duvet, you know, you feel secure, you feel safe, you feel secure. Okay, you went on and went through an 8-hour sweat, but it was, you know, it's really important to feel that you have the, you know, you are in the arms of the divine. And you actively seek to be in the arms of the divine, as well as, you know, being with friends and family and people that you can trust. But it's really important also, you know, again, I know we tend to say this a lot, but also just make sure you keep that breath moving and just breathe it and keep on breathing and making sure that, you know, you do your daily practice. Anyway, handing back over to Matthew.
Yeah, it really does make a huge difference. And that's why I sort of thought, I mean, what was really interesting for me with the stuff overnight is just how aware I was. It was just a processing thing. So, I mean, I'm well aware my diet isn't the best. I probably eat enough sort of proteins and that sort of thing, but I do like a lot of coffee, do like sugar. So looking at where am I over putting things in, over sort of chemicalizing, it would be sugar, coffee. So yeah, but I was just well aware it was just a process, and it was just stuff shifting. Didn't need to know what it was about. It was just a shift. And yeah, a lot of other people getting the same thing. I did sort of laugh to myself thinking, yeah, you can prepare. And I just thought, oh yeah, this will be easy. but yeah, bit of an adventure. But what was amazing for me was, as I said, looking at the bigger picture of it, just being able to serve other people, and almost getting the lesson myself, and then being able to serve people as well, because so many people are in sort of like, oh my God, I've hit this wall, and it seems like it's big and scary, but actually they've just got to a point where they know they need to change, and that can be, as Penny said, when you take a breath and you allow that little bit of perturbation out, that little bit of anxiety of, oh shit, I feel like I've hit a wall. What's underneath that often can be a huge relief that I finally realised that I'm miserable and I can admit it. So what I can do now is make a change. And that can be one of the biggest realisations that people get, because we spend years and years and years working for stuff, and I'm sure lots of people on the radio are listening. I've done it. Oh, when I've got that car, I'll be happy. And you buy that car and, well, it's great and you love it, but it doesn't make you any happier. And then it's that pair of jeans or that pair of trainers, or I know for women it could be that makeup, that dress, that it's whatever it is, whatever, that pair of shoes. Oh, I'll feel better if I've got a pair of shoes. Really? I mean, really? And we spend thousands on this, like, which is the madness. And it's, yeah, we don't need any of that stuff. And it's not going to make us happy. So it's just focusing on what really is important. Mm. And you've got to get it from inside. And people are just, half of it is spiritual connection. The other half is doing the deep emotional work that you have to. Imagine you're carrying your emotional stuff in a bag on your back. You just need to deal with that, and then. But for me, yeah, that's been 50% of the work. I would say mindset probably 10 to 15%, emotional 35%, 50% spiritual, easy. Because it is that. Connection.
You know, again, it's okay, we've had to be social distancing, and obviously we haven't had the physical contact that we normally have with other people. But, you know, one of the most important things is that connection to yourself. You know, make that the priority, your own connection to yourself. So it's beginning to get to know all aspects of self. And how you work and how your mind works, and it helps strengthen and heal your body, but more importantly, it nudges you to wake up to what is important in your life right now, and to gently let go of some of the repetitive thoughts and behaviors and patterns that you no longer need. And it's waking up to that. And then it was really interesting. I was talking to somebody because, as you guys know, we did the 7-day mental diet challenge last week. And it was a really, really interesting challenge to give yourself because, you know, again, you're looking at thoughts, you're looking at behavior patterns, and you're looking at letting go of what you no longer need, and brushing off that repetitive thought that would come into your mind, and just brushing it off like it was an ember that came out of a fire off your sleeve. Just brush it off, and you don't need to carry it, and letting it go, so that a thought that you would normally entertain for maybe 20 minutes, it would be done and dusted in less than a minute, and it would be gone. And having the resolve to work with it minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, so that actually what you're training yourself to do is actually establish new neural patterns in your brain that basically will no longer entertain negative thoughts. So, you're replacing them, again, you've heard us talk about this before, with Ned's new empowering decisions to have better thoughts than you've had in the past. And yes, it takes a little bit of commitment. But, the people who were actually on the challenge, what they actually found was, the first day it was tough to have that amount of resolve and that amount of discipline. However, as soon as the first day was over, it became easier and easier and easier. And then by the end of the week, it was like, hey, got this one covered. But I must admit, again, I was talking to someone earlier on today, and we were discussing the fact that, as soon as we put the challenge had finished, it was just like, Okay. And it was like ego was back going, whoo, I can have a party now. And it was like, no, you're not having a party. I'm not going back to the old way of thinking. And I think this is what we need to understand as humans, as human race, is that we must have the resolve and the self-discipline not to go back to a world that was pre-COVID. We don't want to go back there. Nobody wants to go back to all of that chaos and all of that rubbish. We want to create a new way of being. And, you know, people are talking about the new normal. And I'm going, no, don't you want, you don't want a new normal. You want a new extraordinary, not a new normal. You know, this is where, you know, we commit to being connected to all of the race, all of the human race, and not just our own little tribe, but every tribe. And it was really interesting. I was a Romanian friend of mine sent me a post, and she had picked up that Prince Charles in England had done a video about Romania, and he's just basically doing his job and trying to get people to go back and pick up the tourist trade again and go and visit places, but also go and visit places in your own country, because an awful lot of us are not travelling overseas at the moment. So, you know, go and find out about your own country. Go and find out about your own history. Go and find out about the jewels that you have in your own state or your own county. And it's amazing. One of the things that my husband and I have been doing, because we're looking for a house at the moment, is going round, and we're living in Cornwall at the tip of Great Britain at the moment, and going round and looking at different places in Cornwall. And it's stunning. It's a stunningly beautiful place. But, you know, when was the last time that you guys went out in your state and had a look at things, instead of sitting at home and going, oh, just watch another box set? Yeah. Which is what an awful lot of people have been doing with their lock-up time.
Yeah, we've actually adopted one of your sayings. So we usually refer to our holidays as holidays, but we're actually calling them staycations, because we're staying in our own country now. So it's interesting, I've noticed that's cropped up in the last few weeks, that everyone's saying, oh yeah, we're going on staycation, oh, we're going Cornwall. It's quite funny.
Yeah, I mean, we're actually looking at going to Scotland, so it's on the same island. Yeah, because obviously we live down in Cornwall, and we've got family who live up in Scotland, and we may well do that at some stage during this, you know, probably September. So, it's interesting, and it's just reconnecting, as Matthew is a great advocate for, is reconnecting with that childlike joy, that childlike state of really, you know, again, I was out with my son earlier on today looking at some flowers that we've got growing in the garden. And we were just in the garden, and, you know, there were a few butterflies out there and bees and all of the summer stuff. And just getting back to the joy of simplicity. And, you know, I think that was one of the biggest things that came down for me during, you know, the tidal wave of new energy coming into our atmosphere, was very much about just make it simple. Just have simple joys, simple goals, you know, and achieve simplicity. And the more you can achieve simplicity, you know, and uncomplicate things, that's where the joy and the happiness and the peace and bliss come back, is just simplicity. You know, the trouble is with humanity is we have a tendency to make it way, way, way more complicated than it needs to be. You know, absolutely. And everybody just going, yeah, this is my opinion, this is your opinion, and my opinion's got to be better than yours because I've thought of X, Y, Z and A, B, C and K and J all at the same time. And you actually look at it and go, well, actually, you know, do you have to run around in ever-diminishing circles from one thing to another, like a busy, busy bee, or can you just take a breath and get in tune with what is really important? Hey, my word, it goes so quick. Where does that go? We'll see you next week. Take care.
Take care, everybody. Have a great week.